Hi, I'm Matt Welch, editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine, and I'm joined today by William Redpath, the chairman of the Libertarian Party of the United States of America. Thanks for joining us. Since I have you, I got to ask, looking back at 2008, how'd that go? You hear a lot of people, sort of capital L libertarians and small L libertarians, who express some disappointment that the year of Ron Paul kind of dissipated into quarreling, and that Bob Barr, who was sort of a high-profile candidate, didn't do as well as possible. What's your take on should you feel disappointed or happy about it, and you know, how could the party have done better?
I think it's mixed, but there's a lot of positive that happened. I mean, certainly everybody wanted Bob Barr to get more votes than he got. I think it's fair to note that he got three times approximately the number of votes of the Constitution Party candidate and the Green Party candidate. He got fewer popular votes by about 200,000 than Ralph Nader. But you have to keep that in perspective. I mean, Ralph Nader's name ID is far greater than Bob Barr's. I mean, after all, the Atlantic Monthly magazine ran an article 2 or 3 years ago naming what they thought were the 100 most influential people, not living, but of all time in the United States. Ralph Nader was on that list at number 99. And that took me by surprise, actually. But he has had influence. He's had influence, yeah. No question. And after Florida in 2000 and all that, certainly his name ID, and our politics are so name ID driven, it really shouldn't be that much of a surprise that he polled more votes than Bob Barr. But I think in many respects, I mean, there are people in that campaign, particularly Bob Barr himself, who made real sacrifices. I think they did the best that they could. I don't think that certainly libertarians didn't agree with every judgment in the campaign, but you're going to run into that with every campaign. Overall, I think they put in a very stalwart effort, a very solid effort to, and we all wish they had done better. And I'm sure Bob Barr would be the first person to say that. But overall, I think it was a good campaign and accomplished a lot. With respect to other offices, first of all, we came out of 2008 with ballot access in 27 states. That is a record. The previous record had been 26.
Describe quickly what you mean by ballot access.
Well, I'm talking about presidential or essentially statewide ballot access, where we don't have to petition again to get back on the ballot. The most important of those states was North Carolina, where they had reduced the very difficult state for ballot access. We had to get over 100,000 total signatures in order to qualify for the party for the ballot in 2008 in North Carolina. We had a tremendous candidate for governor, Michael Munger, who's chairman of the political science department at Duke University, and they had recently changed the law in North Carolina, not to make it easier to get on the ballot, to make it easier to stay on the ballot once you were on, lowering it from 10% of the vote for president or governor to 2%. He got nearly 3% of the vote, qualifying us for ballot access in North Carolina as a party for the next 4 years. And also, keeping things in perspective, I mean, yes, I wish the Libertarian Party were a greater electoral success than what it is. But given our voting system, which sort of tilts everything toward two dominant parties, both running for the center, trying to offend as few people as possible so they can win these single-member legislative district elections, it's very difficult for a third party in the United States. But when you compare the Libertarian Party in terms of number of candidates, in terms of number of votes for U.S. Senate, for U.S. House, for State Senate, for State House, we absolutely cleaned up relative to the other minor parties in the United States. So to that extent, in comparison to our peer parties and not the two major parties, we had a very successful 2008.
You were on the ballot in all 50 states in, I think, 1992 and 1996, and something more like 45 this time around. Is it getting more difficult to get on the ballot?
Well, I think that 50-state ballot access for the presidential ticket, I mean, at one point in time, I thought that certainly the mainstream press can't ignore us if our presidential ticket is on the ballot in all 50 states, and that's when I really got involved in ballot access in 1990, leading up to the 92 election, and that turned out, unfortunately, not to be the case. We got on the ballot in all 50 states with our presidential ticket, and they largely ignored us anyway. I think that it's not as important It's not viewed as important in the Libertarian Party, I think, as it used to be. But and there were some problems that cropped up in 2008 in terms of execution of ballot drives that I think that we're going to try to avoid in the future. So I actually right now I do hope our presidential ticket will be back on the ballot in all 50 states and the District of Columbia in 2012. At the very least, it should be in the high 40s.
Is the Tea Party movement and generalized opposition to kind of Obama's big government and bailout type of mentality, is that redounding to the Libertarian Party's benefit? Do you see a more fertile ground for what you're trying to do?
To a certain extent, yes. I think we are picking up some people from those movements, but I think that the Tea Parties, and I spoke at the Tea Party in Reston, Virginia back on April 15th, 2009, and they are trying not to make it a minor party movement. I think there's a conscious effort there to not do that. So, but I do think that there are a number of people who are joining the party who are becoming exposed to the party because we have people who are involved in those Tea Party rallies.
Talk a little bit about yourself. When did you first become a libertarian, whether capital L or small L? How did that happen?
It was in the early 1980s. I think I began subscribing to Reason magazine.
Yes.
I think that's what happened, basically. I was in high school, well, it was during the Watergate era, I was a young Democrat. And we were totally harmless. Don't worry, everyone. We sat around at somebody's house on Sunday night and talked, and we did nothing to promote government that was effective, I assure you. And I think I became affiliated in my mind, at least, more with the Republican Party once I got to college and began studying economics and then went to business school. And that takes us into the early 80s. And I decided that Ronald Reagan was not serious about cutting the size of government. And it was really disappointment with Ronald Reagan's unseriousness. I mean, I hope he wasn't the last best hope in terms of halting or reducing the size of government, maybe, but I hope not. But he just was not serious about it. And if he had been, I think that he might not have been elected to a second term, but we'd all be a lot better off today. And also, frankly, the prosecution of the drug war, I thought, was absolutely outrageous on his part. And also, frankly, Social Security. I smelled a rat when it came to the Social Security system a long time ago. And it was a combination of those things that led me to believe that the Republican Party was not serious about cutting the size of government, and there has been nothing in the intervening quarter century to get me to change my mind.
Looking at the current climate situation, Washington and the country, even the world, what are your biggest fears about what might happen, and what are your sort of centers of hope?
Well, I think that ultimately, in terms of centers of hope, I think that I think the world will be better 30 years from today than it is today, just as I think it's better today than it was 30 years ago. I think that basically, in many respects, time is on libertarian side. On the other hand, I am very much concerned about certain policies in the United States, particularly after the election of Barack Obama. On the negative side, I think demographics are working against us, given that older people, and we are an aging society, older people, I think, are more interested in security than they are freedom. And I think that in one sense, that is working against libertarians in the libertarian movement and the Libertarian Party right now. But on the other hand, I do think that there is a natural progression that the economy, even though we have problems right now, will over the long run get better. There will be more affluence. And maybe the silver lining in the crisis is that some people have said, isn't it, don't you get kind of depressed sometimes? And I say, well, don't worry. We'll have a libertarian society someday when it's imposed on us by the Chinese government. and by that I mean that I do think that ultimately that if our politicians don't have the kahunas to step up and make the tough decisions they need to make, our foreign creditors are going to make them for us. And I hope it doesn't come to that, but I do think that there is a natural limit to the growth of government ultimately. And if Americans don't decide to impose that on this nation, then, like I said, I think our foreign creditors will.
Well, we have a natural limit to our interview time here. Thank you very much. And for Reason TV, I'm Matt Welch.